Welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Beth Newell.
I'm Peter McNerney.
We are parents.
We've got kids. They're 2.5 and 4. Their names are Maven and Bryn. That's it. That's all you need to know.
That's it, you guys. Anyway,
So I just want to say we're recording the most last minute we've ever done.
You don't have to tell them this every time.
Yeah, well, that's always the mental state I'm in right when we start. It's just this.
Just know that anytime we are recording this podcast, we are under extreme duress.
Send help.
We hope for this to be a soothing experience for you. It is not at all for us.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I like it. But that's been my whole life. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is true for a lot of people. It doesn't matter how much time you have. I will start when I have just enough time left to do it. And that's how I operate. I also like to complain. So there you go.
I was out having a drink with a friend while Peter was sitting here panicking.
I was great. Do you see how clean this place is?
You were playing video games, I assume?
No, I wasn't. I haven't in like 2 weeks. That's a lie. I played Nintendo Switch for like 3 hours.
Just for the listeners, I have to share that on Saturday, Peter told me that he would be having a phone-free day.
I'm ready to defend this, but keep going.
Very, very triumphantly declared. He said, I'm just saying it out loud. I'm not going to look at my phone today. I'm just going to be here. He implied he was going to be present. 2 minutes later,
Don't tell me what I implied. That's all you can say, very literally what I said, which was that.
Okay. 2 minutes later, I walk in the living room. You're staring down at your Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Playing focused for, I want to say you played for hours.
I did play for hours. It was a lazy Saturday, but I also watched my kids because it was a lazy game. But the reason I didn't look at my phone was not because I didn't want to look at screens. Okay. Because my phone makes me crazy. But a game, I can hunker down in a game and I focus on one thing, and that's so much better than looking for new random crap on my phone every second. I get anxious looking at my phone.
I think a game makes me feel kind of crazy too, though.
It's not some people. But for me, it's soothing, meditative.
Anyway, Peter really went off the grid that day.
Oh, boy. I didn't look at my phone for like 7 hours. Felt great.
Anyway, why are we talking about this?
God knows. God knows. I've never said that in my life. I'm going to start saying that. God knows. God knows I try. I'll tell you the big thing that stuck out for me this week. Or were we talking about something that I just destroyed?
I can't remember anymore. Guys, it's very late. We're not cut out for this.
Beth's been drinking. How many drinks did you have?
I'm on my second drink right now.
Oh my God, you're out of control.
It's more than just the hour.
Yeah, it's true. So I want to look ahead first this week, because on Wednesday there's a very big thing happening, which is we are traveling. We are flying in an airplane with our two children to Chicago on the busiest travel day of the entire year.
Not only is it insane that we're traveling with kids on the busiest travel day of the year, I have never in my life been in an airport during Thanksgiving.
You've never been in an airport during Thanksgiving?
Where would I go? My family.
Have we never gone to my house for Thanksgiving?
No, we don't.
This is the first time?
When your parents host Thanksgiving, they've done it in Massachusetts.
Wow. That's really nice of them.
Yeah.
Not this year, baby.
Or at least when they've hosted that we have attended. I don't think.
Well, you know what? We're going to get on this plane. We got 4 seats in a little square in front and behind each other, all the way in the back of the plane. I had a little talk with Bryn today by getting excited about the plane, and I also put the idea in his head that we have to stay in our seats and we can't kick the seat in front of us.
Okay, here's what I'm going to predict.
Yeah, okay.
This flight will go off without any major headaches, but this tension and stress of the entire ordeal will make me nearly unravel by the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this now. Okay. When we arrive in Chicago, I'm going to leave you with our kids and your mom.
Yep.
And walk into a room and sit quietly for at least 5 minutes by myself.
Oh, sure. I'd expect it to be more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe more than 5 minutes.
Well, I think that I'm going to be real confident and calm and in control, and then I'm going to start feeling your stress, and then I'm going to get real stressed thinking,
oh my gosh.
I don't want to make Beth more stressed. And that fear will make you more stressed.
Did we tell listeners about last week when you were telling me we were going to be late to a location when you did not know the location we were going to?
I don't think we told the listeners that.
Well, anyway, it was a half hour of Peter pestering me saying we were going to get late. And then as we left our front door, I realized he did not actually know the address of where we were going, despite the fact that he had been there before.
It was a reasonable mistake. And I live in fear of ever having to tell you hurry up, because that has never gone well in my life.
Oh my God. I feel a half hour pestering. So worried that we've literally said it to you twice on the podcast and everyone's just so bored.
I love my wife tremendously, and we're gonna get on a plane. And I know last time we were on a plane, Bryn screamed for 35 minutes, "You're hurting me," while I held his seatbelt on as he tried to wiggle out. And that was the worst flight we ever had with them. And I'm predicting it'll go better.
The worst flight we ever had with them was when I flew solo with Bryn alone, and he screamed for a full hour of the flight.
That was the flight right before the last one. So I predict Bryn's going to be great, and then Maven's going to do her revenge screaming thing that she does now.
Yeah, I don't know. They've been pretty good lately.
Yeah.
They could be good. And I think they're old enough now where we can, if necessary, distract them with like candy or something, whereas in the past, their bodies are just too tiny to consume that much candy.
Candy is going to be a terrible idea.
Yeah, you're right. But a cookie or...
we can't do... Like a super sugary thing is going to make it worse in the long run. But yeah, we got to be ready with snacks. Like this weekend, we had a really fun family outing that did involve a major meltdown with Bryn because we didn't feed him on time. I didn't give him any liquid all morning. And we went to the pottery store to paint some mugs for grandma and grandpa, Nana and granddad for Christmas.
I guess now they know.
Oh.
Now they know.
They don't listen to the podcast, do they?
They do, but I don't know how on time they are with their listens.
All right, this will be a test. This is how we find out if our parents listen to the podcast. When they open their presents on Christmas morning.
Well, now they know that we're amazing planners who figured out their presents in November.
I'm not going to edit this out. Okay. We're recording too late for me to edit that out.
Okay, anyway, so I had the wonderful idea to think, what's something they could truly treasure from their grandchildren and be at least slightly useful? Mm-hmm. And I thought, a painted mug. So we went to the local pottery place where you paint mugs, and Bryn flipped out as usual.
Not as usual. Worse than normal.
He's just like...
He needed food.
Boy. Yeah. Well, he was also dehydrated because our kids didn't get any beverage that day.
That's true. I've already blamed myself for it before you could.
Okay. Well, anyway, he desperately wanted to play with all of the fired pottery that people had carefully made for themselves.
The shelf where you come to pick up your done pottery.
Yeah, he wanted to be able to touch all of it and play with it, and he freaked out. And
then he just fell into no mode, where there is nothing that will be the thing he wants, including food.
He was just like very angry at you for the rest of the time.
And then he literally went outside, and then he was like, I'm going to go back in. I was like, all right. And he's like, not with you. I was like, all right, but you have to go sit at the table with mommy. And he goes,
I have to say though, Maven is such a painter and she loves it. Mm-hmm. And she's really focused and like, she's trying to get results.
She's trying to get results.
She's just like, she like clearly wanted like a plan of like what we were painting. And like, she's like checking in on like, she like kept trying to hand the paintbrush back to me, and like, I don't know. She's very careful about it.
Whereas Bryn only got excited when I let him write his name on. I'm giving away the presents even more now. When it was about him, he was very into it.
Yeah, you inexplicably have made a mug for your mom that says Bryn on it.
She's going to love it. Mom, you're going to love it because you won't forget who made it for you.
Yeah. Well,
fantastic. Anyway,
it was fun. It was
good.
Not a disaster. He didn't break anything.
You know what I was actually really excited about is that he had a huge meltdown and you and I kept it together. You know, like I think that can stress us out and we get on each other's nerves in those situations. And yeah. We kept her cool and we got through it.
You get on my nerves when you escalate it.
I'm aware. And you get on my nerves when you cave. Anyway, what else is going on? Bryn can read. Ladies and gentlemen, ding, ding, ding.
That's a bold claim.
Bryn can read. We're in bed. And we're sounding out words, and it's a dream come true
sort of read. I mean, I think
here's what I mean
for our listeners who don't know what you're talking about. He can't read.
I mean, he can read some things.
Okay.
But what I'm so excited about is a real mansplainer. Is that my son likes it when I explain some things to him. We were in
bed. You love to explain things to our kids. It's your greatest strength as a parent.
Yeah. Thank you. Was that a compliment?
It's certainly something that I don't want to spend time doing. Like, I like reading books with them sometimes, but like other times I'm like, I don't enjoy repeating information to people over and over and over again. It's not fun for me.
Oh my God. I love it so much.
Yeah, I don't.
We read where he does a great job of reading, and a lot of it he knows it, but then he'll get to words he doesn't know, and we sound it out. And I'm taking the approach of I don't ever underestimate his ability to understand something. So I'm explaining, you know, E's at the end of words. They're silent, and they make other vowels say their name. We learned what vowels were today, and maybe he's not picking it all up, but I repeat it, and I keep explaining so long as he is interested. He'll burn out sometimes and I'll try to let it go. But I was so surprised how long he's interested in knowing what TH sounds like, what the ING sounds like. And I mean, I've talked about this before. I can still barely read. And he's interested and that's novel to me. Oh, so that's happening.
Yeah, he has that one book Hello that he's been obsessed with for a while, and what's nice is it has that page where it matches the number of the animal to the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then because he's kind of looking back and forth trying to find the animal, I think he is learning to pay attention to like what the words mean.
Mm-hmm. Big time. That's one of the books we read tonight. Something I explained to him that I thought was going to go over his head was that there are certain words, there are multiple words that have the same sound, like two. There are three meanings of the word two. And I had written examples of all of them in his books we were reading. And I was like, two, like give this to you. This is too silly, the number two. And I kept repeating it, and I saw him get it, and like his face being like, oh, weird, why would they do that? I'm like, I love this.
You love giving him facts that he's then going to repeat at adults and everyone at school.
He repeats them to Maven 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
he mostly scolds Maven the way I scold him. Fantastic. So what else is happening this week? I would just say everyone should go check out Movie Crush with our very own How Stuff Works, Chuck Bryant. I'm on an episode of that, and it was super fun. He's a lovely man. That's my mid-show plug.
Wow. Yeah, check it out, everybody.
Beth's on that show, too.
I have been on a different episode. Okay, so here's another thing that happened this week.
Okay.
So I think we talked last week about how I bought this cheap car at CVS for Bryn. Did we talk about that?
Yes.
Okay. This week he held it up to his head while it was on and got his hair caught in it. And then in the spinning wheels. And he was like crying, trying to get out. It wasn't that bad getting it out, but it did rip out a chunk of his hair. And then it was caught in the wheel. And like now I think the car doesn't work as well because it's all like haired up. So that's where we're at.
Well, that's about as long as I would expect that toy to last.
Yeah, I know. It was unfortunate. It was really not good for the environment, that purchase.
And now it's time for We Knows What They're Watching. This is where we discuss our children's current pop culture or media obsession. Beth, what do you got, baby? Okay.
Well, I had a couple things I want to talk about for this segment, but the first one is on Saturday last week, my sister slept over, and when I woke up in the morning, Bryn was watching TV in front of her sleeping body on the couch, and he was watching an episode of South Park that he found through the Hulu app on her phone. And then since then, we've had another incident where he stumbled onto South Park and
I woke up in the morning and found him watching it again just by himself.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think he started to develop sort of like a bad boy affinity for it. Like he knows now he's not supposed to watch it, and he'll say, because I've explained to him that's a grown-up show, that's like, it looks like a cartoon but it's a grown-up show, and he's like, South Park is a grown-up show? And then
it's a reasonable confusion.
Yeah, but he knows there's bad language, like he knows. And we were asking him about the episode and what happened, and he said something about fire farts. So it's like just appealing to his like core level.
What did he say? He goes, the angry boy had fire farts.
Oh, he said like the fat boy or something like that.
Did he say fat boy?
I forget. I think he did.
That's not an appropriate show.
No, it's a bad show for kids to watch on many levels.
I think we did a good job of making it seem important that he knew that was not appropriate. And he reacted in a way that was encouraging, that he at least knows that it's not appropriate.
Yeah, and that's sort of more important to me, that he seems to know that that's not something he should be like openly talking about. But I don't believe that he wouldn't put it on again if we weren't in the room.
Oh, yeah. I had to log out of a profile so it'd make it harder for him to find. We got to really figure out the parental controls of this.
Well, the thing is, I'm married to someone who keeps deleting apps like Amazon and YouTube so that my son can't watch harmless kids videos, because my husband just happens to dislike those shows.
I would rather he watch endless South Park than endlessly repeating mindless YouTube videos created by...
Yeah, God forbid he learns about colors and numbers.
He's not learning how many studies to have to read. There's no learning that happens. It's dangling keys. He's getting dumber.
No,
anyway,
it's not. It's shows made for kids.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
That's all. This segment only ever just becomes me reeling on YouTube.
Okay, wait. Anyway, so back I had on track. Another thing I wanted to talk about.
Well, I want to say before you move on, just in terms of that language of South Park, the other week, it was snowing and it was terrible driving, and we were in dangerous driving conditions. And this guy zipped past me, and I had the kids in the car. And without thinking, I said, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Oh God, he knows fuck now.
Yeah, he goes, "Daddy, Daddy said a bad word." And I was like, I'd be like, "You are right. I should not have done that." But I talked through it. But I'm like, how does he know that? I mean, he probably knows every bad word.
Well, he walked in the other day and when I was watching a movie, and right when someone said, like, what the fuck? So now he's heard the same phrase like twice in the same week, and he's like, this is very exciting.
It's a very memorable word.
Yeah. Anyway.
What is the other thing that you knows they're watching?
So the other thing I wanted to talk about is this app called Marco Polo that my friends and I have been using.
Which this is your whole life right now, Beth.
It's not my whole life. It's been a really nice alternative to social media because I can connect with a small group of people I know and love.
So explain how it works.
Marco Polo is I think it syncs with the contacts in your phone. So beware if you have people in your contacts that you don't want contacting you on an app. If they have your phone number, you will pop up in their thing and they might send you a message. But anyway, you can send short videos to people. You just hit record. And if they happen to have the app open and that conversation open, they could sort of hear you talking live, and you can send videos back and forth and sort of have ongoing conversations with each other. So
it's like video walkie-talkie.
So, of course, my sister invited my mom onto this app, and it's no longer a safe space. But we've been trading videos.
You hear that?
We've been training videos with my mom now, and like I let Bryn and Maven send videos, and you can alter the sound of your voice on the app. So you could send like a really high pitched, like squeaky chipmunk's voice. Like it'll
a really low
mark. So the kids like it because they want to like listen back to themselves talking with a funny voice.
Honestly, that's why I like it.
Yeah. And it's good for grandparents because we're not very good at FaceTime. It's just hard to schedule it and think of it at the right moment and like when your kids are sitting still for like 2 minutes a day. So this allows you to sort of send videos when you have the moment to do that, and then your grandparents can reply whenever, and you know, you don't have to like schedule it.
Yeah.
And so Bryn has been doing that and he's into it, and he's like, again, he's such a performer, so he like immediately, it's like he knows like YouTube like vloggers speak, and he's like, he immediately turns it on. He's like, "Hi, I'm here in my living room with my mom and my sister, and we're just watching some TV." Like he just suddenly is like a performer. He's like the host of a show.
Yeah. He's copying what everyone else is doing. Yeah. Here's the facts.
Yeah. He's like, here's what's happening. Welcome to my live stream. Anyway, so he was sending videos to my mom, and then he scrolled back through the conversation in the app, again, Marco Polo app, where my mom had sent me a video earlier, and she had been like, "Hey, Allie and Beth," with my sister, she was like, "I'm just, you know, doing this around the house and wrapping some Christmas presents, and here's Bryn's stack." And she starts panning the camera over, and I'm sitting next to Bryn while he's watching this. And I like grab the phone from him, and his eyes light up, and he was like, "Presents, my presents." And he like, so then he was like,
There's no tricking him. He fully understands what just happened.
He knew. He was like processing all of it. And then it was like a manhunt for my phone for the rest of the day. And now anytime he's in that app, he's like waiting for my guard to drop and like for me to get distracted. And suddenly he's like swiping backwards in the conversations. Like it's,
he knows too
insane.
Much.
And Maven too, like they're both just like scary smart with these apps because they just don't question it at all. Like Maven will pick up my phone and she's like, "I'm looking for Damita Cosita."
Their favorite YouTube video. Boy, I listened to Bryn sing all of Chumba Laka Chumba Laka Chumba La to himself quietly in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That boy knows Spanish.
They were going to sleep the other night, and they were both being really difficult, so I laid down in bed with them, and Bryn, as he's laying there in bed, just starts counting to 100 quietly to himself, like whispering, and he was like, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69. And then whenever he gets to the next 10, like
he has
to stop and think about it. He goes, 70.
I'm so proud.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? It's where we share parenting facts.
So this one actually comes to us from a listener, from whom I have learned something interesting. So it's part question and part sharing something we didn't know. So here we go. Hello, Beth and Peter. My name is Annie, and I live in the Czech Republic and with my husband and our 18-month-old daughter. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Anyway, I wanted to give you a peek into how it works, parental leave, that is, here in Czech Republic. Because the difference with our countries really often surprises me. So, did you knows? People use the segment titles. It makes me very happy. Did you knows? We have two kinds of leave. One goes after another. First is a maternity leave, about half a year period that starts 6 to 8 weeks before the due date and lasts about 6 months. You get a monthly payment that is calculated based on how much money you made in the last 12 months. After that, you can start parental leave. You can decide which parent stays home with your child, and you can choose for how long, 2 to 4 years, and then 3 exclamation points. They do so. So an amount of 240,000 Czech crowns, which is about 10,500 US dollars, is divided into this period, meaning that the shorter the period is, the more money you get every month. So the longer it is, the less you get each month, but the same total, no matter how much time you take off. If you give birth to another child while on parental leave, the first parental leave terminates instantly without paying you out the rest, and you start your maternity leave again. That is also why most couples try to plan their pregnancies so the second child is born roughly 3 years after the first one. Although either parent can stay home, it is rare that the dad to be the one, and therefore women often stay at home with kids for 5 years and more. This is making it really hard for me to go back to work and back to normal life. Looking for a new job is even harder because although it is illegal to refuse to hire somebody because they have small children, it happens quite often because nobody wants to put up with their employees staying home with sick kids. Dads on parental leave often face criticism from their friends, usually male ones, and it is hard for them to connect socially because there is just not enough male parents on the parental leave to make a community, and they don't feel comfortable in an all-female group of parents. By the way, literally translated from Czech, parental and maternity leave is called parental and maternity vacation. Ha ha. Skipping ahead, are we lucky to have such a support from government and society, or is it killing us from the inside? Would you like that kind of social politics and support in the U.S.? Love, Annie.
Wow, there's so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, that's so nice.
It is so nice. But it's, I mean, it's 2 to 4 years.
No, but it's optional. They're not forcing it on you. That's the thing. Yeah. I think with so many of these feminist type issues historically, they get categorized as like an either or. And like giving people the option of birth control isn't forcing it on anyone.
Yeah.
The same thing as like giving the option of gay marriage. No one was ever shoving gay marriage down anyone's throat. It's just allowing.
Stop forcing me to get gay married.
Yeah, they're just allowing. So it's like, no one. People don't need to take the full 4 years or whatever, and I think a lot of people would choose not to, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's a great option to have because that is a vulnerable age for children and someone needs to be taking care of them pretty closely. Like these sort of policies like parental leave and universal pre-K and stuff, I just wish people would understand the value they would have on society long-term, regardless of whether you personally are affected by them or not. It's just like, it's a difficult time for people financially and otherwise. And if you can provide them with support systems, it's like you're going to have a more stable class of people.
All ships rise. What's fascinating in there, obviously, like if the people you're surrounded by, if there's not other men taking this time, that's a hard thing. That's the type of thing that doesn't change overnight, you know?
No,
that's a cultural issue. And like, we live in an area where like I have a fair. Most of the couples we know with kids, you're just as likely to see dads doing those things.
Just as likely?
I was just about to adjust it. More so than most of the world.
I guess so. But I mean, I think the thing that this article speaks to that I think is really interesting is that...
It's not an article, it's an email.
Email, sorry. the thing that she's talking about that I think is really interesting is that the we have this idea in the United States that we're like the most progressive and that we're the most evolved country. And in some respects, we are excelling. And in a lot of other ways, we're still falling behind, especially as such a developed country. And the fact that we don't provide these things in our society is pretty backwards compared to other developed nations. And the like, our maternal
maternity,
our maternal health in this country and maternal survival rates for childbirth are really crazy compared to other developed nations. And it's just really insane that we're not putting more resources behind these things that are so preventable and so a part of life. Like, it's just, we have this weird idea in this country that, you know, parenthood is very optional. And, you know, to some extent, it is a choice we make to become parents. But this is like a way society is going to continue to be, whether we like it or not. People are going to keep having other human beings.
Yeah.
And we could be helping out with that.
What do you think? So if we had these options, how do you think that would have changed our lives? What would you have done?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's paying out money, it's really hard to speak to because of the nature of our jobs and because I don't know the ins and outs of how this actually works or how it might be interpreted in our society, because my job running my own company is essentially sort of like a freelance endeavor, and it's like up to me to make a living out of that.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really pay into like Social Security, and I don't receive benefits from it. And so
and we were making no money before we had kids. So them giving us the amount we made would be basically
right.
Nothing.
So like, if something like this were implemented in this country, I think it would be a lot of hurdles to jump through before I would see that money under my current circumstances. I don't know what it would look like.
But we also, I think, would go, we would go a little crazy. If we didn't have those creative outlets.
Oh, well, no. I mean, here's the thing. I think everyone has a different level. Like, it's the same way, I don't know. We're all on a spectrum in regards to so many different things. So the point...
Which is like a collection of spectrums, right?
But like, I mean, I would want to get back to work at some point. I think the speed at which I was trying to get back to work and my expectations about like how reasonable they were with Bryn, with our first kid, it was just like, I feel in retrospect like I was so uneducated on the severity of having a newborn and recovering from childbirth. And, you know, it was explained to me in detail throughout pregnancy by our home birth midwives, who I'm really grateful for, and like people trying to be realistic with me about what that recovery would look like. But
yeah,
I do think it's insane that the average person going into pregnancy is not necessarily aware of those realities.
Well, I want to read something I actually skipped over from her email because it was sort of a separate point, but it's very much what you're talking about. Annie wrote, "Enjoy your show very much, and I wanted to thank you especially to Beth for talking so honestly about giving birth in the afterbirth period. I remember people telling me how giving birth hurts, but then you have a baby and it's all good. Nobody mentioned all of the sweat, hormonal madness, breastfeeding struggle, and overall feeling like you're gonna die. So when that hit me, I felt like a total failure until I talked to my friends, also mothers of very small children, who said that they had similar problems. Made me wonder if we forget so fast, or if it's just so taboo to feel anything else but happiness after having a baby."
Yeah, and I think it also plays into our society loves to sort of discuss everything in clinical terms and like slap a label on it as part of the problem. And then we're like potentially treating the symptoms of a problem where we don't actually know what's happening. So, you know, we throw around things like postpartum depression, which are very real and horrible, but we don't talk about how, you know, maybe if you weren't so sleep deprived for like 6 months straight, you wouldn't have postpartum depression, and maybe you could have preventative measures in place or a support system or realistic expectations about what your, you know, output was going to be during those months, then you wouldn't be having these like mental and physical health crises that a lot of people are having in the wake of having children.
Yeah, because I think so much of it is like childbirth and all of that. There's this picture of this beautiful thing and, you know, like the Instagram culture of this curated life. And then I think the more people see and hear other people that are like, we don't know, we're a mess, it's terrible, and it's different for different people and in different ways. Yeah. And that not everything, not all postpartum depression fits one model. There's an infinite.
Also, like in other countries like France, they have this sort of built-in like physical therapy for women's vaginas built into their like national healthcare. So a lot of people have birth
physical
injuries.
Therapy?
People, so after you give birth, you know, everything's torn apart, basically. You're blown open, and your muscles in your vagina are weakened. And that sounds like, I don't know, that's just a joke to be made about huge vaginas or
I did literally
orgasms or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, those muscles, your pelvic floor is like holding your organs inside. It's preventing you from peeing yourself when you sneeze.
Yeah.
It's doing a lot of work that is like fundamental to your physical health and strength and recovery.
Yeah.
And in our country, you know, people don't like to talk about vaginas, so we just kind of ignore it. And when women complain about pain, we say, oh, yeah, you're recovering. We don't always look into it. And in places like France, they literally will do physical therapy and like strength training for women's vaginas to make sure that they're recovering properly. And they understand it as a part of a woman's health.
I was about to make the worst joke. And I'm not going to. Just know that it's based off of saying wee-wee. Send in your jokes that you think I was going to make or what the funny appropriate joke is or something that's applicable to what we're talking about.
Hashtag we know South Park. This next segment is called Listeners Want to Know. What's where we take some comments and questions from our listeners.
Listeners Want to Knows. Anyway, this is great. Beth, are you ready?
Yes.
Subject line of this email. Help! Feminist household in crisis. Hi, Peter and Beth. I first want to admit that I am one of those married but childless people who listens to your show as a kind of voyeuristic research endeavor. And you have thoroughly convinced me that I want, this next part is in all caps, one baby and one baby only. So thanks sincerely for that clarity. On to my question. My husband and I are very liberal people. We would describe ourselves as espousing socially progressive and feminist ideals. When we got married, I didn't change my last name, partly because of not wanting to participate in a history of the identity erasure of married women, and partly because his last name is already hyphenated because my in-laws are also progressive feminists and gave their kids hyphenated last names.
This is the most feminist family I've ever heard of. Continue.
Changing my last name to his would mean that I have a new pre-hyphenated last name where neither of my names was mine to begin with, which seems to negate the original point. This hasn't been a problem until we started contemplating what we would do vis-a-vis last names when we have a kid. Giving the kid my husband's already hyphenated last name puts them out in the world with a convention that implies to everyone that their last name is a combination of their parents' names, which it wouldn't be. Trying to triple hyphenate our names feels borderline cruel, especially since our names mashed together sounds like a fungus or a fatal medical condition. She wrote what the names are. I'm not allowed to read it online on the show, but it's... It is no joke, really.
Trust us, it sounds fatal.
I'm just going to let Beth read it.
Wait. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like the simplest decision would just be to have the kids take my last name, but my husband insists that Feeling like a family is important to him. I care less about all of us having the same last name and more about what will be easiest and avoid confusion and headaches for our future kid. I have broached tentatively the idea that if having a family name is so important to him, my husband could change his to mine, which he did not like. Surprise, surprise. Additionally, when I think about the rare situation in which having the same last name actually does matter, like proving next of kin quickly in an emergency situation, it seems like those scenarios more often fall on mom to deal with, especially if she is a primary caregiver. Maybe that's not really a thing, but I have crazy fantasies of showing up to a hospital after some accident at school and not being permitted to see my kid because our names don't match, and I didn't think to bring a birth certificate or whatever. So, Peter and Beth, what do? I think you mean, what do I do? Okay. Why did you do what you did? Okay. And what would make you do, what would you do in our situation? Make up a new name? Force a long, confusing string of names on our progeny? Try to convince my husband that my four-letter last name is the easy way out? Help. Thanks and love, okay. Shannon.
I have an answer.
Okay.
I think she's right. The kids get her last name. Hyphenated names are insane.
I put all of the blame on his parents. Hyphenating your last name. No, I understand the logic.
It's irrelevant because if her names were hyphenated, you would just be like, oh, the kids will get his last name. So the fact that he brought too many names into this equation means she gets the last name. Her argument makes sense.
You know what? I think I agree with you. But I want to say, like, if you hyphenate your kid's last name, you're just putting off the decision because you can't hold on to these names generation to generation.
You can't have all these names forever. They're all meaningless.
You
it
did that
matter.
To your child, and now he has to make the decision that you couldn't
our
make.
Our decision for this and my decision for I kept my last name in marriage because it seemed logistically easier. I have a name. I have an identity. I don't want to change my website or my email. I have a life. When it came to choosing our kid's last name, I feel that they should not have hyphenated last names. I think that's confusing and a burden to give children, and it will haunt them for their whole lives.
Haunt them.
I worked in a school, we worked at a private school, and I worked in the nurse's office, and I would go through files of kids.
Yeah.
And the hyphenated names are cumbersome and confusing, and I just imagine these kids having to fill a million things out all the time, and it's always a headache. And it's like, who is winning? Why is this helping anyone?
You've just deferred the decision for a generation. Just
give your kid
but
one.
I'll tell you, like, how it happened, because we never talked about it. I heard somebody ask you, are you keeping your name? And you said, yeah, like the kids can have his name. I'm keeping my name. And that was the moment I found out we were going to name our kids McNerney.
Yeah. I mean, for whatever reason, I just didn't care. I don't know.
I mean, I'm like, selfishly, I'm really grateful that you don't care.
I think as a man, you need that ego boost, and I'm just sort of above it.
Because I've thought about it theoretically, where my values and my moral compass would say, if you were like, we should name our kids Newell, I have no argument, no good argument as to why. The argument I go to is like, the genealogy research I've done, there's just, it's systematic, rules. But this I hear myself saying that. I'm like, well, that's not really a good reason.
There
is no real good argument.
If there was an even way to split it that wasn't also a logistical nightmare, I would do it. But you can't, these hyphenated names are too many names. I don't think it's worth it. And, you know, some people will give their kids like a combination name of their two last names or something. And I'm like, that's confusing. No one ever knows whose kids these kids are. I will say, like, one thing to be aware of with this is that I agree with what she's saying, actually, about showing up at the hospital, because one thing I've heard with people who do weird things with their kids' last names is that if you're going through customs or trying to get on an airplane and it appears that the kid is not yours, or people feel, like, questioning it, like, that's when it becomes a little confusing. And I think it's like can be avoided. Like you bring IDs or passports or whatever, but
yeah. And I think it is becoming less and less of an issue. Like people are just so much more used to parent, you know, usually the mom having a different last name.
But I think when it comes to things like getting through customs, where it gets confusing is another one of those things where it's like the race of the kid versus the race of the parent. And like, do they have reason to believe that this parent is stealing a kid, basically?
Yeah.
And that, so you have to sort of like factor in like the prejudices that might be going on.
But that is a surmountable problem. I think you being comfortable, don't give up your name for that, because you can just know, oh, if we're going to fly somewhere international, maybe bring a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Like that's something you can do.
Well, you would have a passport, so you'd probably be fine. But yes, I think it's just proving parenthood. Yeah, I guess a birth certificate would help.
So we have, there's no right answer to this.
But I think in her case, she has the right answer, and it's that she gets to give them her last name.
Because boy, giving them a hyphenated last name is weird, but also, what if it's, do you de-hyphenate it and just pick one of them? And also, now the grandparents are going to be pissed.
She says, like, her last name is four letters. It's a good, simple last name. She has the more ethnic of the two names, I believe, for lack of a better word. And
do you say that to mean interesting? Would I have to go back? Oh, she doesn't.
Non-white. Isn't her, what is his last name?
Oh boy. I couldn't confidently tell you what any of the marks that maybe one of the hyphenated.
Okay.
Last names.
Well, anyway, her last name is Asian, and I think that's a more interesting last name to pass on as well.
I don't know that it is. It very well could be. I mean,
you don't know that it's Asian?
I don't know that it
is. I'm fairly certain that it is.
But her name is, well, yeah. You know, I just think she has an Irish first name. We don't know. We don't know.
Anyway, she's right. The kids get her name. End of story. Gavel. Knock, knock.
Oh, it's really easy for me to sit back here and be like, yeah, buddy, just give them your wife's name. Would I do that? Oh, gosh. I'm so glad you never put me in that situation. Parenting's hard. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We Knows Pod is our name in those places. WeKnowsParenting.com is our website where you can buy some merch.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. That will really help us out. You can also send us questions on our website or go email us at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, which would be really fun for us to play on the podcast, at 347-384-7396.
And again, I'll say check out Movie Crush this week, where I was lucky enough to be a guest. And also I want to say, those who keep asking, we should plug it every episode, but Mates of State, they wrote that incredible song that opens our show. Check them out. They're incredible. Ooh, guys, have an incredible Thanksgiving.
Everything is incredible.
Incredible. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.